has landed lapping up on the barrier islands off Louisiana. Oh, we knew it was going to happen, right? 3 months and counting, will it make its way, the oil slick that is, all the way around to Key West? That's the thought now. Nashville, in the meantime, tries to dry out. It's going to take a long time to put some of those lives back together. The Dow slides more than 220 points. And the big story, who is Faisal Shahzad? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, of course, the name of the show. Left, right, and all those gray areas. We love it. You can jump on whenever you want with your 2 cents. That's the beauty of this show. We don't shut you out. It's not a monologue. It is instead a dialogue with all of you. 800-259-5791. There's some big elections in England, too. We're going to talk to a university professor who's an expert in history about the impact of what's going on in the UK. But so much happening on our own shores. The big story is the Times Square bomb suspect. Crazy thing is, when we were on the air the other night, I mentioned that I had gotten a text from somebody that they had nabbed this guy, remember? And then the story was breaking all over the place right before midnight on Monday. The plane, Faisal Shahzad, this 30-year-old, had actually gotten on the United Emirates plane, and he was headed for Dubai, ultimately Islamabad, but they were about to taxi. They had closed the doors, the whole thing, so he had gotten all the way through. And apparently he was on a no-fly list, a federal no-fly list. So it took, what, 50-some hours, 58 hours to get him, but he did get through those other security checkpoints. Here's what the Attorney General, Eric Holder, said about the charges and what's happening in the investigation with this crazy, crazy story. Thank goodness that the jimmy-rigged, because it was really poorly put together, the Nissan Pathfinder with all the stuff inside, did not go off, did not detonate. Here's the latest from him.
Good afternoon. As many of you know, Faisal Shahzad was arrested late last night in connection with his alleged role in the attempted car bombing in Times Square last Saturday. Shahzad, a naturalized United States citizen born in Pakistan, is in federal custody today. He has been and continues to be questioned by federal agents. As a result of those communications, Shahzad has provided useful information to authorities. We anticipate charging him with an act of terrorism transcending national borders, attempted use of a weapon of mass destruction, use of a destructive device during the commission of another crime, as well as assorted explosives charges. Now, I want to emphasize that this investigation is ongoing, and we continue to pursue a number of leads as we gather useful intelligence related to the terrorist attack. Based on what we know so far, it is clear that this was a terrorist plot aimed at murdering Americans in one of the busiest places in our country.
All right, here's some crazy facts about Shahzad. Shahzad, a wife and 2 kids he had, right? And also, his wife's 2 sisters lived next door. Where did they live? They lived in Connecticut. He lived in Shelton, Connecticut. He worked for a financial firm for a Finian media group in Norwalk, Connecticut. Left in June of 2009, where he was working there as a junior financial analyst. That's nice. Follow the money, remember? And here he was, somebody who had gone through all the rigmarole, had become an American citizen. He came to the United States, he went to college, he got a bachelor's degree in computer applications and information systems specifically from the university in Bridgeport. And he earned an MBA at the school in 2005. Neighbors are stunned, stunned. They're saying often he would be jogging, he wore all black, he jogged, he was quiet, seemed like anybody else would be in the yard, working in the yard, doing whatever you would do. He'd be there with his kids, a boy and a girl, and they wore traditional Muslim attire. This is what we're talking about, the assimilation factor. What does that say when someone's willing to wait that long to spring into action? And he had gone to Pakistan, had trained at one of the camps, and he returned to the United States on a one-way ticket from Pakistan back in February, in the beginning of February. He told the immigration people when he came back that, hey, I was visiting my folks in Pakistan for 5 months. He wasn't visiting his folks. He was shooting guns off in the desert, and he was learning to put these bombs together. Ugh. And there are so many questions now stemming from this. One, is the path to citizenship too easy? When we're talking about the problems in Arizona, we also have the problems of those who want to see the Western ways go away, like Shahzad, obviously, because now in the charges, as you just heard Holder say, it's quite clear the Times Square deal was terrorism. It was a terrorist act with a Jimmy-rigged car bomb that was parked right there in the square. And then also, once again, sure, thank goodness he's on the federal no-fly list, and they're able to nail him while the plane, by the way, which ultimately would have ended up in Islamabad and disappeared, was headed out of the country from JFK. So they had gotten to the point where they had to turn that plane around. That's how close he was to escaping. He didn't do the damage thanks to a detonator that didn't work. But how close are we to something awful happening in the United States? And, you know, I don't want to spread doom and gloom because I think you can't live in fear. But I think that we have to ramp up intelligence as much as possible in this country. And it is another wake-up call. Abdullah Muttalib in December on Christmas Day was one of those. Now we have Shahzad assimilating, living in Connecticut like anybody else in a neighborhood and just going about his business, going to school, all the while biding his time so that he could become a hero and create disaster in the United States. And there are a lot of crazy things connected to this, because now it's all about finding out who is Shahzad. How did all this stuff happen? We know how he got the car. It was cash, and it was off of Craigslist. We know he almost got out of the country. We know he paid for his ticket in cash. It's the same things we see over and over and over again. And there are a lot of crazy details that are starting to come out of this. And he definitely admitted that he had received bomb-making training in Pakistan. So he missed his attempt. He assimilated. He waited. How many others are in this country waiting to pounce for the right opportunity? And that's exactly what you do. That's exactly what they're doing. So I think this is scary as hell, folks. As somebody who was in New York on 9/11, I'd hate to see something happen again in America. We've been lucky the last couple of times, but when does the luck run out? We can never be too vigilant. We cannot have enough good, intelligent people that are working in the intelligence field that is so important right now. We're going to talk more about this a little bit later in the show and some of the other things that neighbors had to say about Shahzad. But coming up next, Professor Chad Martin joins us to talk about the elections in the UK. Stay around.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcasts?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from Caro Stove. Caro Stove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now, get the Family Emergency Kit at KEROstove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at KEROstove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to KEROstove.com. Caro Stove, for family emergency solutions.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. AirAndAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Craggy, craggy, when you're under attack, just tell them you're Seattle and the Union Jack. Craggy, craggy, when you're under attack, just tell them you're Seattle and the Union Jack.
You claim more than 30 lovers, and you can make sure the economy recovers.
You have two favourite types of biscuit. We'll take a chance on you, yeah, Craggy will biscuit.
In the debates, you've never been silent.
Ah, that's the Clegg girls. When it comes Remember the Obama song when he was running Obama Girl? A little bit similar. I think the Obama Girl sound a little bit better to me. But anyway, what is Clegg all about? You probably have no idea. We have briefly mentioned it here on America Tonight. There is a huge, huge election going on in the UK. And Nick Clegg is really shaking things up. So we thought it'd be fun to have Professor Chad Martin from the University of Indianapolis. He's a history expert on the show to school us and why we should care about what's happening in England. Professor, thanks for hopping on ATN.
No problem. Like to be here.
Okay, first of all, what is the significance of what we're seeing in the UK now? And explain the differences, which you and I talked off the air about, between what system of government they've got in England and what we have here in the United States and why this is such a big turn.
Sure. Well, I mean, in short, the significance is that the British have historically been our closest allies in Europe, period. And the English have always had a hard time deciding about whether they'd like to have a closer alliance with the United States or a closer alliance with other Europeans. So for Americans, what happens in Britain is pretty important. And as far as the difference goes, you know, in this country we have a separation of powers with the legislature and the executive and the judicial. In the British system, whoever wins this election becomes prime minister because they have a parliamentary system, which means that they do not have a separate executive branch. So whoever becomes the prime minister is kind of like combining the president and the speaker of the house in our system into one job. And so it's very important what happens on Thursday.
Sure, because you think of the allies, like as you said, the allies that we have had in the British, Tony Blair and his relationship with Bush, what's happened with Gordon Brown. It's always about that. It's always about feeling each other out. And there could be an incredible shift if the English align themselves just a little bit more with their European brethren versus really saddling up with us, right?
Oh, yes. And that's, again, that's I mean, one of the things that's sort of a lodestone around Gordon Brown's neck, and he's the current prime minister, is that Tony Blair decided to ally himself with Bush in the invasion of Iraq, and that proved to be hugely unpopular in Britain, and it cost him in support. And so that's one of those decisions that a British prime minister makes that ends up, you know, kind of costing his party.
Yeah, tell us about Nick Clegg and why Nick Clegg is, he's like a little rock star all of a sudden there. I've been reading a lot about him, and he, in a way, he's like Obama. They're swooning over him in England.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to understand that in America, we have basically a two-party system. In Britain, they have several parties, not just two parties, but they have three major parties. The Labour Party, who are currently in power, the Conservative Party, who are the second party, and those two have been trading off the Prime Minister's position since the 1922 election. But then there's the third party, the Liberal Democrats, and Nick Clegg is the leader of the Liberal Democrats. Now, they have not won, the Liberals have not won an election since 1918, but they've always had a presence in Parliament. And there's two things that I think make Nick Clegg kind of interesting. One is he's the youngest and most dynamic of the three. And for this election, for the first time in British electoral history, they had televised debates between the different party leaders. Now, in America, we had our first televised debate in 1960 between Kennedy and Nixon. But this is the first election they've had televised debates. And he was able to participate. So the electorate was able to see not just the two larger parties, but this third party candidate, Nick Clegg, and he walked away with the first debate. Everyone admits that. The option that he presented was attractive to a lot of people because the Tories, the Conservatives and Labour have been moving closer and closer together in their policies, and the Liberal Democrats do offer a sort of a different position. Now, the other thing that makes a difference here is that the election is so close, the polls all say it's going to be very close, that Clegg could potentially be in a kingmaker position. And what I mean by that is that if there's three major parties, one of them might not get an outright majority. And therefore, the Liberal Democrats, the third party, might be able to go into coalition with one of the other two to decide who the next prime minister will be. And in that case, Nick Clegg could be a very influential person indeed.
Boy, no kidding. We have a little soundbite. You're talking about the debates and how he flat out won that debate. Listen to this. We're going to play this for everyone. This is a little tiny snippet of Nick Clegg.
I have to say, so both David Cameron and Gordon Brown, what bothers me is, I mean, I hear the words, and they sound great, but, you know, it's not just what you say, it's what you do.
Yes, what you do. How about that? He wants some action. That's what the people like about him. And he mentioned, of course, as you said, there, David Cameron, and he talked about also Gordon Brown, and there you're talking about the Labour Party, as you said, or the Conservative Party, and you could get what you were talking about is what they call a hung parliament.
Yes.
And is it true they haven't had one since 1974?
Right, the last hung parliament was 1974. I mean, there's a couple of different options that could happen. One is that you have what's called a minority government, and in that case, what you have is that the Conservatives would, well, it's assumed that the let's just say first off that it's, I think, widely assume that the Labour Party will lose, that Brown will no longer be Prime Minister as of Thursday, and I think that's pretty much accepted. But the Conservatives might not win an outright majority, and in that case, there's two things that could happen. The Liberal Democrats and the Labour Party might go into coalition together to keep the Conservatives out, or the Conservatives might try what's called a minority government, which means that they would not have an outright majority, but they would try to rule anyway. That would last until a no-confidence vote in Parliament. And basically it would be David Cameron daring the other party leaders to try to take him out, at which point they would have another general election. I mean, that's another big, big difference, is that in America we have elections on a set schedule, every 4 years for president, every 2 years for House, every 6 years for Senate. In Britain, general elections can happen whenever the prime minister calls one. And so if they decide, if there's a minority government, the other two parties might decide to challenge the minority party to force another general election as soon as later this year. I mean, you mentioned the last hung parliament was in 1974. The British had two general elections in 1974, two in 1 year.
Let me ask you this. Simon Cowell, who just owns half of the earth, and I could care less about American Idol, but you know this, in England they love him too. He has come out and endorsed David Cameron. Well, does that mean anything? Because you know how we have celebrities that will stump for people? Does that hold any weight with the Brits?
I don't really think so, because you have candidates that are coming out for all the different parties, and they all have their own sort of star power. And so I wouldn't think that particular endorsement means that much. I think a bigger, you talked about Nick Clegg earlier, I think a bigger deal is that the Guardian newspaper, which is one of the three or four big newspapers in the country and has historically always been a Labour paper. The last time they did not endorse a Labour candidate was in 1983, and they just came out and endorsed Nick Clegg wholeheartedly. And that's a big deal. When Gordon Brown, as a Labour candidate, can't get the Guardian's endorsement, it's a telling statement on how bad his campaign is going.
So if David Cameron gets this, what's his relationship going to be like with the U.S., do you think?
You know, I think his relationship will probably be pretty strong. I mean, of the three candidates, he is the one who's most committed to keeping British troops in Afghanistan. I think, you know, as far as foreign policy goes, it won't be all that different. You know, he's more or less, the candidate. I mean, Gordon Brown has had to promise change because people are so unhappy with the status quo. Nick Clegg's party has always been the Liberal Democrats have always been the outsiders. Cameron promises the most stability, especially as far as foreign policy goes.
All right, the most stability. Professor Chad Martin, you were terrific. University of Indianapolis, we appreciate it. We'll have you back on. Will you join us again sometime down the road?
Be delighted to.
All right, that was excellent stuff. Thank you. We'll all be watching to see what happens, too, by the way, on Thursday. And the impact could be felt here in the United States, like you said in the beginning when we were talking about this, and how interesting that you could have this hung parliament and have to go through they would have to go through the election process maybe twice in 1 year. But watching this Nick Clegg, the analogies of how he's kind of doing what Obama did when he was running, the similarities, very, very scary. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to talk about what's going on with the oil slick and the latest doom and gloom scenarios there. Boy, it's not good. We've known this, though, right from the start, so we'll catch up with it. You catch up with us, too, in just a few.
Are you considering taking herbal supplements instead of overpriced and potentially dangerous pharmaceutical drugs, but just not sure where to start? Are you confused by the thousands of products and brands? What if you could find what you're looking for in herbal supplements from one source without the guesswork? You can at researchedherbs.com. Products at researchedherbs.com are backed by over 1,100 clinical trials, endorsed by 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide. And our products are manufactured by a family-owned company that's been around for 80 years and makes 20 billion herbal pills every year. All that means trust, safety, and assurance for you. The journey to better health begins and ends at researchedherbs.com. Call us toll-free at 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486. Researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down home value, made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get Diamond Gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com, that's Gusset.com, or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond Gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
I like that song. Speaking of banging a gun, I guess Faisal Shahzad was packing when he made his way to the airport, but what difference did that make? The gun was found in the car, but hey, he almost got out of the country. It would have only worked if the flight to Dubai had gotten to the gate and he had gotten off, because theoretically, they could have also had the plane land when it was in air, but the crazy thing is he went all the way through, got on the plane was going to take off, and they stopped the plane because he was on the no-fly list. He has admitted to attending a terror camp, the 30-year-old, who had two kids, who was living in Connecticut. The neighbors in this working-class neighborhood were stunned. He had problems paying the mortgage, I guess, knowing what he's going to do, so he's going to be foreclosed on. And there's some other crazy parts to this jigsaw puzzle that we'll talk about. Scary, scary jigsaw puzzle, too. I think it highlights the need for more, if anything, more intelligence. It's about that. I always say this, follow the money. Pay closer attention to who's in and out of the country. I mean, how many of us have screamed about that? We don't know what's coming in and out of the borders. That's part of the problem. And once again, here you go, student visa. He's got the documents. He comes in. He goes to school. The whole thing becomes a citizen and had done what you have to do to get that citizenship status. So nobody's looking around at him. Nobody's thinking this is the guy. He's the family guy. He's just a devout Muslim. They're wearing the traditional clothing. Look at his wife and his kids. But there was something more sinister going on. I mean, this is a nightmare, I'm sure, for the people in the FBI and others in the intelligence business. I say nightmare because they feel, I believe, lucky that they were able to piece it together as soon as they could piece it together so that they could get him before he took off. But he still was able to get aboard the overseas flight. So here we go again. There are still a lot of holes in the system that have to be plugged up. That's coming up. You can throw in your two on that, 800-259-5791. And coming up at the end of the hour, too, a Picasso sold for an incredible amount of money. There are some people in this country and elsewhere that have some serious jack in these hard times, because I can't believe what it sold for. I can't believe it. That's part of We Can Count. It's coming up, like I said, at the end of the hour. But until then, let's dive into this oil slick stuff, because here we are, day 9 and counting. Probably going to take 3 months or more now. You know, it's all about when, where, and why. When is it going to get cleared up? The why, we still don't know the why. Why did it sink? There are theories, but right now it's all about the solutions. It's about trying to figure out what's happening with the wind and the tides and the currents and what the impact's going to be. And sadly, the oil has hit the barriers in Louisiana, and that's just one part of where the slick has gone, according to the tides and whatnot. Just one portion, I'll say, of an island, but now could be headed ultimately for the Keys. Can you imagine? So the devastation is going to be incredible. And the other thing that I found out today in a conversation with somebody about the legal side of this and what are they on the hook for, BP, they're on the hook for the cleanup, but they're not on the hook for the other stuff. There's other things along the way that are happening, like the livelihoods of fishermen, and that's not as shrimpers are racing to beat the clock. They're trying to beat the slick, basically. They're not going to get any money. They're not going to get any relief unless it's from our government. So we're going to pay, and we're probably going to pay at the pumps, too. While this is going on, the craziest thing is now it's about whether or not we're going to have expanded oil drilling. And I'll tell you about that in just a second. But let me give you the latest on the day. First of all, it's come out that the owner of the rig that went down the platform had some safety concerns. Oh, I did have some safety concerns, but we thought everything was okay. The calmer weather, because the winds and the tides, like I said, play a role in this, has helped, at least in this ninth day as we roll into day 10, because with the oil washing ashore, at least there's a better chance to try and cap it. You have people that are stepping in to try to save the bayou. You have a lot of people that are trying to help. And I know we've talked about some of the solutions, but the cleaning up the mess, there's nothing absolute, I guess. Nothing definitive that you can point to and say, okay, we just need to do this. We'll just set everything on fire. Just throw it all out there. It's like someone told me today, use flares, create a ring. But that's not the way the spill is going. And that's why we don't know the impact on the area, for one. You have this deep horizon, which was an exploratory rig that drifted down 1,800 feet to get that oil and that gas under pressure. So at some point, a surge in the pressure, that's what they believe, overwhelmed that system that was supposed to contain it, and the oil and the gas ignited. And you go from that to, and this explosion happened April 20th, it was burning for days and it sank. You go from that to a couple of other things with this spill. How big is it really? Covering an area of more than 60 miles across, the heaviest concentration. I mean, I saw it today. It looked like you were putting your hand, you could put your hand in ink. That's how thick it was. But the heaviest concentration goes out about 15 miles from where it was actually spilled. Then you got the small amounts that have hit land that I talked about, the barrier islands. They call them different things, but basically the barrier islands. And the winds have kind of complicated the whole thing about where the rest of the spill is going, because it's going to expand, and it's going to expand, I think, fast, depending on the white caps, the water, the whole thing, the tides. So why BP didn't understand how fast this oil was flowing from the well. But the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they knew. They were all over this. It's flowing at about a rate of 210 gallons a day. Do you know what that means? That means, as of right now, the total is at least 3 million gallons. 3 million. Let me give you a comparison. We keep using this one, and it is a tanker, but Exxon Valdez, and I think it's because it horrified so many people in 89, that spill, that entire spill, amounted to 11 million gallons. We're on day, what did I say, day 9, 10? We have 3 million gallons already. So how do you stop this from flowing? Drilling the relief well, these are things that we talked about already. We've explained it. We've talked about it on the show. But it's also, the target is 7 inches wide. It's deep in the seabed. It's 5,000 feet of water that you're talking about to try to intercept that oil before it comes up to the surface. So think of threading a needle in the dark. You can't see anything. You're blindly trying to hit it. You're trying to hit a bullseye. And then the new well, the relief well, would take 2 months to drill. So putting a lid on it that way is pretty tough as well. And to really understand it, I'm telling you, you have to, and I'll put one up on the American Tonight website, but you look at a diagram of it. You look at the water surface and you look at the well head and the blowout preventer and the leaking oil and the containment chamber and all the different contraptions, what they're trying to do and pumping it to the surface control vessel. The long and the short of this is they got to do whatever they have to do to stop this stuff from flowing. Whatever they have to do, deploy a dome, capture the oil when it comes out of the ocean floor, drop a giant steel box over the well. And that sounds pretty easy, right? Pump the oil from the box up to the surface where you get it back into the tanker. That's a technique that I've heard about, right? And it's worked before. But the problem is, it's never been tried in deep water. So you have all these ships out there, too. You got like 200 barges and skimmers and tugs. And I mean, it looks like we're at war. And it is a war. It's a war over oil. It's a war, though, not over oil rights. It's a war of cleaning it up. I mean, it is nuts. There's like 40 miles of booms that have been laid to try to contain the oil until it can be recovered or dispersed. This is about 6 million a day to BP. At the rate it's going, they're going to tank too. I mean, seriously, I don't know that they were expecting it this big. All right, so then the other thing is drill, baby, drill. Expanded oil drilling, what do you think? Fair or foul? I've been talking about this now for a couple of days. Send me your thoughts. Go to americatonight.net, americatonight.net, and we'll do it that way. I'll take a little mini poll here. Expand or put the brakes on for now. Senator Judd Gregg, a Republican from New Hampshire who supported offshore oil drilling in the past, says he suspects you're going to see a different regime when people have a chance to sit back and take a look at how we anticipate and clean up potential environmental consequences from drilling. And that is definitely the key. But yet you have plenty on the Hill who are backing this up, and then just as many who are saying, let's put the brakes on, like Robert Menendez from Jersey and Bill Nelson from Florida, Majority Leader Senator Harry Reid, and some of the centrist guys, too. Stay with us. Coming up, we can count.
Times are tough, and you got to stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at DoobleyShoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions. You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase. Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands. thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world.
Sign up today at DooblyShoppers.com.
Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at DooblyShoppers.com. That's D-U-B-L-I Shoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
Are you prepared? Well, you need to be hardcore prepared. There is a difference. To be hardcore prepared, equip yourself with the latest survival gear available at TacTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field-tested by Canadian and U.S. forces, so you know it's tough. What kind of gear? 72-hour survival kits as low as $55. Holsters for $21. Ankle holsters as low as $40. Flashlights, knives, binoculars, sleeping bags, boots, weapons, accessories, and much more available only at TacTown. TacTownGear.com. Order now and receive free shipping and a free gift on orders over $175. Need more? Receive free shipping, a free gift, and a 10% discount on orders over $250. Visit TacTownGear.com right now for your preparedness needs. That's TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Or call TacTown Gear at 418-844-9111. Again, that's 418-844-9111.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
On weekend counts, the Dow slid big time on the day, more than 200 points. So stocks tumbled on some serious worries that the global recovery might take it on the chin if Europe's push to contain Greece's debt doesn't succeed, and if China's efforts to slow their incredibly ever-growing economy go too far. Sounds funny, doesn't it? But the actually, it's a good time if you saved up a couple of those extra bucks when you were working your third job to get some time off and go to Europe. The euro fell to a yearly low versus the dollar, but it really smashed the energy prices and stocks. That's why the 220 points. So, in fact, 225 fell as much as 282 earlier in the day when I was looking at it. I was like, whoo, 282. So I don't know what your summer vacation plans are, but you got a couple extra bucks hanging around. You might take that European vacation. Or maybe you just do the, what do they call it, the staycation, where you sit in the backyard, have a couple of cold ones, play a little volleyball, hang out, save a little money so that you don't have to work those extra jobs. It's weird, too, because the European leaders said, and I guess this is why, they promised Greece $146 billion in loans over 3 years. So, and even then with the promises, the first payment was supposed to arrive ahead of the May 19th deadline. But what's happening in Greece, it's gone crazy. It's like a world gone mad. The people in Greece are furious since they're having to pay an outrageous amount of taxes, and also they're having job cuts and salary cuts all over the place. A lot of that value-added tax stuff that we don't want to see, yeah, they're definitely having that in Greece because they have a choice. Either go under, that's what they told the people. Basically, you have a choice. Either go under or take it in the shorts. Not exactly the words they use, but that's what's happening there. Kind of like our too big to fail. We have to bail them out, and that's the same thing. All right, here's one that's interesting. Do you like Picassos? Have you ever seen a Picasso in your life? If you haven't, Google Picasso and tell me what you think of his work. Well, a Picasso painting got $106.5 million at an auction on Tuesday. Do you know that's a record for any single work of art? They did it at Christie's. That's where the auction was, a famous auction house. And the painting itself is called Nude, Green Leaves, and Bust. And that's exactly what you see when you Google the Nude, Green Leaves, and Bust. And the buyer's premium, the additional fee that's paid to the auction house, took the price of a painting that was hammered down to $95 million up to $106.5. It's interesting because there was previously, I think the highest mark was $104 million. And the painting was from 1932. It shows his lover or muse or mistress or whatever you want to call her, Maria Teresa Walter, in the picture. So, I don't know. I don't think it's a very flattering portrait myself, but I'm not a big Picasso lover. What do I know? That just seems like a whole lot of money to pay for it. I don't know, Matt. You probably have great works of art that you stared at as a child in your family's home, right?
I don't know. Not really that I remember. All the stuff in our house has been kind of family made.
I like it. The naturalist. Your mother's a naturalist. Just put, you know, if you put your hands in clay and then they cut it out, she hung it on the wall, right?
Well, things like that. I was kind of big into art when I was younger, so I'd paint some things. And then my grandma was an artist, too. So we've got kind of the family art that we rock throughout the house.
All right. So, and probably most of you listening can relate to Matt's story. You have your own version of artwork on the walls. I gave you that description, gave you sort of the, I don't know, theater of the mind tour of our little satellite studio in Dallas, and I told you about some of the stuff on the wall. I'll give you a few other little tidbits of things that are around me as I'm speaking to you. There's a picture of Arnold Palmer. It's just a black and white photograph, and he signed it. I met him at a tournament a long time ago when I lived in California, and he graciously sat down, did a little interview with me, and signed this black and white photo that someone had given me and then told me to keep it. So that was nice. And then I've got another piece that somebody gave me that looks nothing like a Picasso. It's just a photograph, a drawing, almost Norman Rockwell-ish, of Brooks Robinson. He was a third baseman for the Baltimore Orioles, and that's signed by him. And then we have all kinds of other things that I'll give you descriptions on as we move along throughout the next couple of weeks on ATM. In fact, we may have a little contest. You can guess what items are in the studio and what items are not in the studio. Continuing with We Can Count, more than 80% of U.S. school districts are expected to eliminate a bunch of jobs, and that's sad, certainly for teachers and whatnot. More than half will probably freeze hiring during the upcoming school year, and that's just based on a survey of school administrators from 49 states. A total of 275,000 education jobs are expected to be cut in 2011. Ooh, so not a good time, I guess, to get your teaching degree. You know, all that you have to go through to become a teacher, there might not be a job for you if you go that route. Seems like the computer industry is the way to go in the future. Anyway, in the survey released Tuesday, the AASA said job cuts in the 2010-2011 school year alone would nearly negate the 300 jobs saved or created by the government. Ooh, that's sad. So that means that there's just not enough taxes being taken in for one. And you've got 48 million students that are expected to go to school next year. So those job cuts are pretty significant. What is the average student-to-teacher ratio? I think it's 15 to 1 or 17 to 1 is what it is, actually what they're saying. I don't know. That seems 17 to 1 seems pretty high to me. I think if you get above 15, that's pretty high. I mean, for goodness sake, you know, once you get to the college level where it's so bad you just have teachers that are lecturing to classes of 50 kids, you don't want to see that happen. I mean, then it's all hell is broken loose, and that's ridiculous. 17, I would say, would have to be the high water mark, because how would your kid get any attention? How would they be able to, if they needed some help other than after-school help, participate? I think that's just a little bit too high. And finally, here's our last one. This is crazy, and I'm sure we'll talk about it in another Hour of America tonight. But in New Jersey, this is the deal. When you're a driver and you're under 21, they are, or you're just getting ready to turn 21, but under 21, you have a red dot, a red sticker on your license. And what it's saying is that you're a teenage driver and you could face a curfew. So if you get pulled over, you're supposed to go home. The red dot significantly points out your age and the fact that they believe in New Jersey that teenage driving accounts for too many accidents. So let's police it ourselves. You get the scarlet letter when you pull out your license. I think I drove when I was 16. And our license was a paper license, actually, then. And no, I can't, certainly there was no significant mark or anything about the age. But now that's what they want to do in New Jersey, just to signify that, okay, this is a teenager driving. They shouldn't be out on the roads at a certain time. And it is like a scarlet letter, I think. Absolutely. Don't forget to weigh in on drilling. Should we expand drilling in the U.S.? There are plenty of senators on board with that and plenty who are not. It'll be interesting as this legislation starts to pass through. You can do that by hitting us up at americatonight.net.
Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Okay, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?